Okay, so what I wanted to do is at least wrap up the basic ideas of Hezekiah, and, you know, expose you to the world of the Achronim a little bit, and at least show you a representative sample of some of the treatments of the Achronim and Hezekiah. Now, there's a lot written on Hezekiah, both in Lamdus and also in Halacha, meaning Ad Hayom, Hezekiah and related sugyot are very, very relevant. You know, probably less in America, where, you know, even in from neighborhoods, it's not necessarily the case that, you know, your neighbors on all sides are from Jews. But in, you know, in Israel, where that's much more likely, and especially in, like, Haredi neighborhoods where apartments are, you know, the norm and apartments might be on top of each other, you do find a lot of modern shilas and cases in Beit Din of Hezekiah and Hilchot Shechinim and things like that. So these are things that are discussed pretty commonly. So they talk about everything. Everything you can think about, they talk about. Like, I have, you know, some more, and I've printed out a few modern court cases on it. You know, there's, you know, these are relevant shilas. Okay. But I, now I took this from the Olamot website because I wanted you to see a little bit of Surah Sadaf. You know, no matter what I do, someone's not going to be upset. You wanted it to be bigger. You know, I wanted you to see Surah Sadaf once in a while. You know, I don't know what to tell you. Okay. But let's look. So first, let's you know, maybe wrap up some of the ideas we've been seeing. Look at what these represent in Achronim, and if we have time, let's do the biggest, you know, Hezek Shmiah today. If not, we'll do that tomorrow. Okay. So I gave you both the Kilat Yaakov and the Evan Azel. So who are these people? Let's do a little bios here. If you haven't yet figured out, you should do, you know, take a minute during Seder. And it'll help you, because when I ask you, who are these people, you won't stare at me blankly. But who are they? You can look it up now. I'm happy for you to look it up now. What? Kilat Yaakov is? Also known as the Stipler. Yes, he is the Stipler. What's his name? Yaakov Yisrael. What's his last name? Kanievsky, right? He's a leading Lamdan, lived in Bnei Brak, right? Latter half of the 20th century. His son is Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the, you know, one of the current leaders of Litvish Haredi Jewry. So Kilat Yaakov is a very clear writer, and let's look at it. And again, I don't know how many chidushim you're going to see, but this will at least summarize it, and you'll see how a lot of the ideas that we've been developing, the Achronim sort of take and put together, and they mention certain nafkemina to it as well. So, so the Stipler writes, V'chein begina, makom shenagu l'gdor mechayivin oto. Umuvuar b'gmara, Distam gina kimakom shenagul egdor, aval kolpanim bimakom shenagul shalul egdor patur af alpe dehika hezek riyah. So from the Gemara, it sounds like a gina is a place where they normally put up a fence, but it sounds like if the custom was not to, so you wouldn't have to, even if there is hezek riyah. Inami alternative mishum dasur ladam lamod b'stei chaverah b'shash omed b'mkoma b'shem ina bisha. Alternatively, the reason is not because of Hezekiah, but it's because of the prohibition based on Ayin Hara. And nevertheless, the minag to not build would allow you to not build a mechitza. Uvirash, now the rush here, and Hevi machloket arishonim zal, igam bechatzer mehani minhagash l'ligdor shiftor mechitza. There's the Rush notes that there's a machloket rishonim, whether in a chatzer, if you chose to be mochel, the hezekiah, whether you would be allowed to. Now, what should that depend on? You guys tell me before we continue reading, right? What should it, yeah. Very good. right? We already mentioned this yesterday, that question should hang on the question we discussed yesterday. Is Hezekiah a purely a monetary issue, rights that I can demand, or is there, like the Rashba implies, an element of Isser, meaning Hezekiah integrates Daf Samach, which sounds like ritual law or whatever you want to call it, Isser, rather than just Dinei Mamonot. And we saw already that the Rashba, who is the one who integrates the Isser component into Hezekiah, is the one who feels that there is no Mechila. So he writes, Deyesh Mefarshim, some hold to Adin Bechatzer. The Chazin and Eldin Afish is Eka begin at Tvei Mechatzer, the Lishna Mechitza Guda, the Litlei Hezekiah Bechatzer, begin a Moda Vechule. Some people say, well, if you can waive your rights in a Gina, you can definitely raise your rights in a Chatzer. The Yesh Mefarshim, and some say, the Bechatzer, I feel Bemakam Shalanu, Shanagu, Shalolikdor, Mechayvin Oto, Mishum, the Bechatzer, Nafish is Eka. And some say, in a Chatzer, you can't because the damage is too great. It's because it's constant, right? In the mind of Ezra, Shmei Hezek, Bechatzer, Tadirei, Beit Tashmish, Sanua, Vigami Tashmish, Mishtam Shimba, Beknisa, Vietziya, Nafish, Hezek, use it all the time. Okay? So now look at the underlined parts. And he says, L'chora svarana omrim de lomani min haga bechatzer, Mishum de Nafish, Hezek, Tfei, Akata, Ruya, Leva'er, Dinhi, Shalom, Du, Darazem, Min loktam etim in haga el begin of lo khatser min komakom ra ro khazal lo mak la hakel min haga beze kazuta. He said, okay, I still don't understand why this would be the case. Meaning why by one would it work, right? But not by the other. So top of the second column. Vinira di yesh la hasbir davar ze hetev. Dine biikar din hezek ri'ya ika shlosha inyanim. There are three aspects to Hezek Ri'ya, right? And as you'll see, this is really a fleshing out of some of the ideas we've seen, but in a slightly different angle. Hezek Ligufo, one is that it damages you, your personal body, right? Who said that? Ramban. Hezek Limamono, it damages your money. Who said that? Also the Ramban. Other people as well, right? Rashi, in terms of, right, if you hold that Ayin Hara will cause to the damage of your property. Ve'isura. D'chol ha-meitzit b'chatzer chavero b'shashu oseh milet etznudim et b'yesh b'zareiz etzare d'gufa. Uveze kule alma motid hezek re'eshme hezek. El da'ayman d'yomer d'sov hezek re'eh loshen ma hezek sover. D'chavero yachol yizaher shlo lasot milet etznud b'chatzero. So he said, everyone agrees that staring is a damage. The reason that you would hold Hezekiah Lav Shmei Hezek is simply because they think that people can avoid doing private things in their property. Right? The proof is that everybody agrees if the wall used to be there and then it falls down, that you have to rebuild it, because once people get used to doing private things in their chatzer, so then everyone agrees you have to respect that. So now, skip to the next paragraph. And he says, V'ahai mandi amar d'v'chol chatzer hezek riyesh me'ezek. When we say that hezek riyesh me'ezek, yesh lefaresh b'shnei ofanim, there are two ways to understand it. One is, d'yesh lomar d'yusor d'chol chatzer yefshar lishamra mila d'tzniyuta u'me'ela itle tzara d'gufei. One possibility is it's inevitable that people will be looking at you, and therefore it will cause you pain and anguish, meaning it's hezek. Mistaklut chaveiro b'shalo. V'yesh lefaresh, alternatively, demodish b'mnechol nizram milta ditzniuta. The second possibility is that we agree that it's theoretically possible for you to avoid doing things that are of a private nature, but that's exactly the problem. Right? So what does the Tzipler say, as we've said 100 times? He said there's two ways of looking at this. One is that Hezekiah is damage, and the reason you would say Hezekiah Shmei Hezek is because it's inevitable that eventually they'll see you something doing something private. The second possibility is no. You really could avoid doing anything private, and therefore your privacy won't be invaded. But the problem with Hezekiah isn't that he's going to see you. It's that he's going to prevent you from doing things which are of a private nature. It's exactly that point. What?
Like, according to the word, what they say, we see that as like being like a 1.5 categories.
No, presumably it's a different category, but it'd be hard to figure out exactly what it would be.
But why would it be?
Now, what?
Why would it be Moshe?
Now, why would you say it's different? Just because it's, you know, why would we shove it into another category? You could. Maybe. It'd be hard, though. It seems to be limited to actual Chavala. Yeah, Yonatan.
Does it say that Hezekiah is like the first, and that it's only the actual like, action of seeing your like, life legacy, and not... Would they say that the loss of use of property is a problem at all?
Maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. Okay. So, yeah, Adam. Yeah. Say that again? Not necessarily. So, okay, so again. So what are the nafkaminas? Nafkamina 1 is what Adam is highlighting. Is the nafkamina between saying Hezekiah is purely monetary versus Isser is, are you allowed to be mochel? Right? If you think there's an Isser component, then maybe not. If it's pure dinim amna, you're right. Right? And that seems to be the nafkamina. That's what he says. Right? Second question, right? So we have two big questions here that the achronim are asking that we've, at this point, fleshed out. Right? But he just summarizes it. One is Hezekiah, whatever it is, purely monetary, or is there an Isser component, right? An obligation to be tsanua? Nafkamina, can someone say, I don't care about my own privacy. If it's just monetary, of course you're allowed to say that. If there's a halachic value to tzniut that you yourself have to maintain, you can't just be mochel it so fast because you have to do it as well. Two is Hezekiah mazik, either of your money or of your body, however you want to conceptualize it, right? Causing damage to property through ayin hara or right discomfort to you, which is tzar de gufa, versus simply the fact that it will cause miniyat ishtamshut. Right, so the nafkamina to that several of the achronim pick up on, and let me just get this out, and then I'll take you, Ezra. And if you look at the last column here, is we already saw that the Ramban said yesterday that you can never gain a chazakah for Hezekiah. Right, remember we said that for certain types of things, if someone decides to use my property and builds a windowsill that goes over my property, so if I stop him, I stop him. If I let him do it, then he gains squatter's rights, and he's allowed to do it at some point, whenever that happens. But things that cause pain to me personally, so what do we say? That you, chazaka doesn't work. You can always say, I can't handle it anymore. So the Ramban, who felt that Hezekiah was tzaira de gufa, was actual damage to the person, right? Your privacy being invaded, someone looking at you, is an attack on your person, on your body. So therefore he said, that no matter how long it's been going on, so what's the halacha? You can always claim, I can't handle it anymore. You don't have a chazaka, you've got to put up the wall now, you've got to stop it. But if you think that Hezekiah is pure, either dine mamonot, or even less, minyat hishtamshut, so then what? What would you say? There can be chazaka, and if you look at the third column here, that's exactly what he says, right? That he notes that the Ramban who says that there is no chazaka, look at the underlined part, was because he held the ikatzar de gufa, lo mani chazaka. He thought that there was pain to your body, right? But if you look at the last paragraph, he says, "Vasovim the Bahani Chazak al Ezekriya." Can you read this? Avi Cholchad Ser Yacholi Yizar B'Milei Ditznuta Kederach Hasheni Katavnu. If you hold that you can be mochel and you can establish a chazaka, rather, the reason is because just look at the paragraph. He says, "Rag Mishum Shubishvili Stakul Chaveru Hu Nimnal Milishtamish Bechatzero Kirtzono V'Nimta Hashem Mafsid Hishtamshut Bechatzero." It's not considered damage. It's considered monetary loss because you lose the right to engage in things in, not the right, the ability to engage in private things in your chatzer, right? But it's not that we're worried about when he looks at you, it'll be damaged, because that, you could always say, I'm not, right? I now can't handle it. There's no chazaka on Sarah Degufa. But if you think it's just maniyat ishtam shoot, so that's the classic case where you can't establish a chazaka, and therefore he says, may I taima, hu davi shmei ezek, ulufiza in elamazik mamono, right? So, the two nafkaminas that we've seen so far is, if there's an iser component, you might not even be able to mochel yourself. And if you conceptualize it as an attack on the person, so you may never be able to establish a chazaka. Right? If you view it as just minyan eshtam shut, or maybe some sort of monetary loss, which is a little bit grayer, so then a chazaka can be established, and once the person has been doing it for a while, dependent on the third paragraph of Bava Basra, how long he has to do it for, a chazaka can be established. Is that clear before questions? Yes? If it's not clear, I'll take clarifying questions, then I'll take other questions. Are those two main points clear? Yes?
No.
No. Okay, good. One more time. Question one. Is Hezek Re'ia, whatever it is, purely monetary? Or does it have a, let's call it a ritual component, right? Or a religious obligation to privacy, right? Okay? So, as we saw, the Rajba integrated Hezek Re'ia into the religious obligation to maintain Tzniut. Most of the other Mefarshim did not. They identified that as something else. The Ramban also does that. Most of the Mefarshim, I don't know, most. The Rajba did it explicitly. The Ramban wraps it up as part of a broader perspective of Hezek Re'ia. Rashi, Rambam, don't talk about it that way. Main nafkamina to that question is there ever a case in which you, Yaakov, can decide, look, I just don't care about this level of privacy at all, right? Explicitly. I just don't care, right? Not chazaka, not anything. Just, listen, I don't care. Do whatever you want. I don't care about privacy. If you think it's monetary, purely monetary, whatever you think it is, of course you can do that. If you think that part of the reason for Hezek Re'ia isn't just that I can't invade your privacy, but that you have an obligation to maintain a certain level of tzniut, which then reflects back to my obligation towards you as well, right? So you can't be mochel at least that component of it. Because just like I have an obligation not to invade your privacy, you have an obligation to live a somewhat private life in, right, with certain levels of tzniut. Not surprisingly, and if you want, we can spend a day on Ach L'maisa, but not surprisingly, this question is very important to figure out the modern question, which is, why are our houses set up in many places, especially in apartment buildings, as like, you know, perfect grids where windows are, right, aligned into other windows? If it's purely monetary, so you could say, look, it's purely monetary. We've decided that's how we build houses. We don't care. Right? But if you think, no, it's about your obligation towards Sniut, so then it's really a problem. Right? So the Mefarshim, so the modern poskim try to come up with solutions. Either our windows are not usually exactly parallel. I don't know if that's always true. Or we most of us have ideas of window shades. Right? So, right, it's just, yes, the windows are set up, but that's not the way we, right, the way we set up our houses is that the privacy comes from something else, right? We can maintain that level of privacy without depending on how you build the windows, but rather on what you put on top of the windows. Window shades are, in Israel, right, in Israel, much more trisim, which are the best. I love trisim. But, you guys don't have trisim? They're like the shutters. Right? Yeah, that's exactly what they are. Right? I mean, some people don't like the look. I don't like, the look doesn't bother me so much. I just love the fact that, like, if I really need to, you close the trisim and it is night. It is pitch black. Like, it's not like you close the shades and, oh, I closed the shades. It is now a modicum darker. Like, no, it's, and these are better than blackout shades. This is like, you close it, you do not see anything. Like, if I want my kids to really sleep in, you know, you go into their room in the middle of the night, you close the trisim, and suddenly all concept of time, you know, yeah. You know, like, that's, you know, if ever you want to be considered ones for missing chakras, you know, if someone closes those trisim, you have no idea. You just, day, night, makes no difference anymore. But the question of whether it's enough to just say, look, we've all agreed to live in cities like this, that only works if you think it's purely mamonot. If you think there's an iser component, that we have to maintain certain sniut, so then you have to come with the other answers, that they're not exactly parallel, we maintain privacy in other ways, so we are keeping that value, etc. Okay? That's question one. Question two is, okay, within the monetary component of Hezekriya, because there are parts of it that clearly are only monetary, right? The chatzer, the ginah, the bayit is a different story, right? The only time that the Gemara explicitly brings up the case of tzniut is the bayit, right? Is in the house. So in the monetary cases, how do we conceptualize it? Is it nezek, or as the Ramban puts it even stronger, nezek de gufa, meaning someone violating my privacy is considered an attack on my person, right? Or do you say it's a monetary damage, either to my property, or this miniyat hishtamshut, which is even lower, meaning it's not that, as the Kilat Yaakov wants to say, right? The Kilat Yaakov puts it slightly differently than I just put it. He says, is it that it's an attack on my person, and the reason Hezekriya is usher is because we assume that you will end up doing something private in your chatzer at some point, and the person will end up seeing you, and therefore that will cause damage, right? Or do you say, no, it really is possible that you will avoid any invasion of privacy in the sense that he will never see you doing something private because you know he can see you, so you'll never do anything in your chatzer. But that is itself the problem, because the problem of Hezekriya isn't that he's going to see you, it's that the possibility of him seeing you is what makes it that you can't take advantage of your own property. And that's Hezekriya. It's not the damage that he causes, it's the inconvenience that prevents you from using your property out of fear that he'll see you. Right? What we call miniyat hishtamshut. Right? That the problem of Hezekriya itself is the fact that he's not enabling, you're no longer able to freely use your own property. Right? Not the fact that he will damage you, but the fact that he, because he could damage you, you won't end up using your property the way you should under normal circumstances be allowed to use it. The Nafkamina to that question, Kilat Yaakov suggests the Machloket Rishonim as to whether you can ever establish a chazaka. Because the halacha is that by regular monetary issues, right, if Yehonatan is my next door neighbor and I let him, you know, set up his air conditioning unit so that the motor goes over a little bit onto my property, right? Like, it's attached to our properties are, right? Like, his wall is connected to my backyard, so, like, when they put up his air conditioning, right, the motor, they attach it and it overhangs into my backyard, right? Which technically he shouldn't do. It's my property, right? But if I let him do it, right? So eventually, what? What? I do own the airspace. I do. Yeah, of course. Yes. Yes, we do. Something like that, it's clear that at some point, again, Machlok Rishonim, how much time, at some point, Yehonatan will be able to establish a chazaka on that and say, listen, you can't just change your mind. I've had my air conditioning motor over your backyard for 5 years and you never said a thing, right? You can't stop me now. That's not fair, right? And halacha says that at some point, in some cases after 3 years, in some cases immediately, depending on how much of a provocation we view it as, Yehonatan will be right and he'll be able to say to me, listen, Rabbi Ziering, too bad, I'm sorry, you know, you should have said something earlier, you didn't, I'm allowed to keep my air conditioning there. That's by monetary law. And if that's all Hezekriya is, right, that, you know, just like now, I can't use that airspace because Yonadon's air conditioning unit is there. So if I am next door neighbor's Yonadon and I don't protest about the violations of Hezekriya, right, I didn't insist on a wall for long enough time, at some point, right, Yonatan can say, look, you got used to not doing private things in your yard because we share this property. You can't now demand that we build a wall. That would inconvenience me, and you should have said something earlier. If you conceptualize Hezekria rather as an attack on my person, what we call Tzaira de Gufa, so then it falls into a different category. And that's what the Ramban argues, which is that there are certain things that no matter how long it's been going on, at some point I can say I can't handle it anymore. Right? So, for example, like smoke, right? Whatever it is he's doing that causes smoke. He has a factory in his backyard. Okay? I don't know. Right? So it used to be that I could handle it. But then, I don't know. Right? I get older and, you know, my cough gets worse because of it. And I say, you know what? I could handle it for a while, but I just can't. Right? It's causing me to cough more, you know, in the age of corona, when you cough, everyone looks at you funny and I just can't handle it anymore. Right? Mashiach. So if you think that Hezekria is Tzaira de Gufa, right, is an attack on your person, so then there's no chazaka possible. Right? And that's what the Ramban says. If 5 years later I say, you know what, I can't handle this violation of my privacy anymore, he says you're allowed to say, I don't care how many years I've let you get away with it, we're done. Right? Because it's considered Tzaira de Gufa, it's an attack on your person. But if you think it's only monetary, it's only Miniyat Ishtam Shut, so then just like Yonatan can say, look, I already established my rights to have my air conditioning here. He can say the same thing about violations of privacy. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yes, Ezra.
When you said that, like, it's just like the opposite of the that's not damage, that's like the monetary thing?
No, it is. So you could, within monetary damage, you could divide it, right? Meaning. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right? He has three categories. He's saying there's really three categories here. But there's interpreting it as an attack on person. And then there's attack on property. Miniyat Ishtam Shut presumably is also maybe even less of an attack on property. For this Nafka Mina, presumably it'll be true of both. Yeah, it's some sort of monetary damage. Again, it's a slightly different conceptualization. Yeah. Again, in monetary law, it's hard. Meaning, most things aren't framed as yisurim.
But
violation of property rights might potentially be some sort of gzela, but in monetary law, it's not always so clear. You're dealing with an isur per se.
But for the purposes of, like, if someone's mochel,
like,
you may not be allowed to
mochel. Right, no. Monetary violations like that, you could be mochel, right? If I tell you you're allowed to steal my property, it's no longer theft by definition, right?
So,
yeah. Yeah.
If you were saying that the problem is the actual physical sin, if you were to make it known that you were looking or whatever, that'd be fine. Like if you were to if there's no problem with if you were to be there 24/7, would there be any problem with that? Is the problem that they don't know that you're there?
No, it doesn't seem to matter, right? Being that's the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that you're not allowed to be staring, right? It's a different problem.
Okay.
Staring is a problem, is an isser, right? Whatever it is. Or maybe Midat Chassidut, according to the Rambam, so still not good, right? Maybe not usser, but bad, whatever. That's dependent on the Rambam, right? Okay. If you look at the Ibn Azel, that's of Shach. He also, right, brings these two possibilities. Um, But what he just adds an important point here. And he said, even to the extent that you talk about this as mazik, and this is maybe the point I want to leave you on in Hezekiah, it is a little bit of a weird Hezekiah, a weird type of a mazik. And the reason is as follows. Most cases of mazik, what we're talking about, mazik that is considered mazik under all circumstances, right? So if, I don't want to be sued, so I'll let you attack each other. If Rami decides that he wants to punch Ezra, right? Whether he punches him in yeshiva or he punches him in the apartment, it's mazik, right? Mazik is mazik is mazik. But Hezekiah isn't quite like that. Because even if you hold it's mazik, it's mazik that only exists once you create a framework in which there's an expectation of privacy, so then you can talk about the violation of privacy as mazik. But the same act in Rishus HaRabim is not mazik, right? Meaning if we're both walking in Times Square, right? There is no expectation of privacy, bichlal. There just isn't, right? And therefore, it is, even if you call it damage, it's a unique type of damage, which is predicated on a background. Now, you could still take it in two ways, and this is what, hopefully, when we do at least one or two sugyas in the second barak, we'll see, is that this is the major question all of Hilchot Shechinim, is that there are two ways of conceptualizing the obligation that I have to my neighbor. One is the fact that I only have these obligations to my neighbor tells you that this is not properly called hezek at all. Right? It's not really damage because it's not something that is wrong objectively. It's just that when we are neighbors, so I have certain obligations toward you as a neighbor. This is zoning laws, right? But not really mazik. And even if we call it mazik, we don't really mean mazik. Okay? The second possibility is to recognize the possibility of contextual hezek, right? Of damage, which is actual damage, but only in a certain legal framework. We have other cases like this in halacha. I'll throw out an example. For example, posheya by shomrim, right? By stewards, right? When I ask you to guard my property. So there as well we find machlokot. Is it that the reason I'm obligated to pay you when I am derelict in my responsibilities and I negligently break your property, is that because it's a violation of our agreement, right? Or is it that once we enter into this agreement, we introduce a new world of halachically recognizable hezek, right? And there are nafkaminis to that question, right? That's not above a basa question, it's above a metzia question, really. Yeah.
Why is a loss of the ability to use property a damage?
So that's, again, it could just be that. So again, it might not be. It might be that this is another way of formulating the same question that we've been saying, which is that maybe Menir Hishtamshut is saying, no, this isn't damage. This is a violation of property rights. And saying it's mazik is saying, no, it's a hezek, but only within a certain context, which is a chiddush, but we have precedent for this, right? And that might be the question itself. And this is the question that Ibn Ezel deals with a little bit. He also deals with some nafkaminas as well, but I'm reading the room, and I'm going to read the room and say, it's enough to say he deals with other nafkaminas. If you're interested in them, then enjoy. But, yes, Ezra.
So, if you, regulate it as when you're buying, it's not like specifically that you, the problem is that you are seeing that, or that specifically you're a problem not to use the property as much, but the problem is that by doing that, you devalue the property and then you turn it from a...
Devalue, that's a strong formulation. You don't devalue the property per se. That's a strong formulation.
And you're turning it from a
I mean, sort of. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to put a finger on that. I would find that. Maybe I don't know. I got to think about it. I'm not sure. Yeah, devaluation of property is a bit hard for a lot of reasons to put your finger on whether that's the case. Part of it is going to have to be how halacha deals with valuation of property, which is not obvious because it involves land, land properties, and halacha land doesn't have property value. There is no objective value to land property. It could be infinite. So it's a little bit complicated, but... So it's complicated. It's not a terrible formulation, though it would require some tweaking, I think. Okay. Let's switch to the question of Hezek Shmia for the latter half of Shir, and hopefully doing a different topic will help you guys a little bit. Okay. Let me throw it out as follows. I'm not gonna exhaust this topic now. I think we'll probably do this as a parent-son learning a little bit later in the year. But... 2 years ago, I spent a lot of time writing about these issues, and one of the pressing issues in modern legal discussions, if you follow the news at all, is the extent to which what Google and Facebook and whatever, take your pick, do in terms of mining your data, right, is that illegal? Is it problematic? Is it the type of thing that should be reined in? And does halacha have anything to say about it? Okay? One of the main categories, though not the only category in halacha that is brought into conversation with it, is hezek ri'ya. Now, obviously, this is not... Let me just get my sentence out. It's not actual hezek ri'ya in the sense that they're not seeing you do anything. Right? So in order to figure out whether... Hezek Re'ia can tell us anything about the responsibilities of these tech companies to respect your privacy, / their responsibility, and whether it's actionable, right, enforceable, is Hezek Re'ia expansive, right? Meaning, is Hezek Re'ia a stand-in for a broader principle of privacy or not? Now, Lumdishly, tell me that based on the formulations we've seen until now, which conceptualization of Hezek Re'ia is more likely to open itself up to a broadening that might include what? So no, actually the other way around. Meaning, if it's actual damage, so you could say, okay, seeing me is actual damage, but seeing you online is not the same thing. You can't just say, right? It's not like a virtual punch is not the same as a punch. It just isn't.
What you're less likely to use, like the problem isn't that because Facebook uses your data, you're less likely to use Facebook. Like, that's a different formulation.
That's exactly the opposite formulation. That's my point, right? Is that it might hang on this question. If you think that it's damage, they've actually got a look-alike, right? Meaning, visual damage might be damage, but who says I get an ayin hara or something if someone mines data from me, right? Or who says it's tzaira d'gufa? But is it minyan d'hishtamshut? Potentially, right? The realm of minyan d'hishtamshut is potentially much more expansive, because once you say that there's a category in halacha that says I can't do something that is going to limit the way you would utilize things, and yes, people think twice about what they do, what they put online, right, when they know that their data might be mined, especially when they don't know. Now,
do you have an inherent right to use Facebook?
So I said, this is only one of the relevant categories. There's a lot of questions that go into that question, right? One of them is Hezek Re'ia, and what does it teach us? There's other questions, such as the Chirim Devenu Gershom, such as and then there's other complications, like the fact that I check the box that I accept, everything in the licensing agreement, right? Does that, right? There's a lot, for halacha lemaisa, there's a lot going on, right? And we can't exhaust it right now, right? I'm just throwing it out there. But what many people have pointed out is the question of whether hezekriah is even a relevant category in potential is, if you think it's mamish hezek, right? So that hezek seems to be limited to what the Gemara said, visual damage. But if you think it's about minhag shtam shud, then you understand why it might be more expansive. And the first attempts at this expansion, way before tech violations of privacy, was hezek shmia. Was, what if I invade your property, not visually, but, right, by eavesdropping, right, orally, right? Not orally with an O, but orally with an A-U. I know they sound exactly alike, but orally is verbally, right, with your mouth. Orally, A-U, is with your ears, right? Those are both words. And, you know, and in fact, they're often both relevant in the same sentence, which makes it very confusing that that is a word. But it is a word, right? And I assume that for non-New Yorkers, maybe it sounds more different than for a New Yorker who, you know, we have strong vowels, I'm sorry, right? But the difference between orally and orally is not that much. Where's a non-New Yorker? And tell me whether... Good. We have multiple, right? Yeah. See, that's not how it comes out of my mouth. What?
What are two words? Orally.
Orally, O R A L, like from your mouth, and orally from your ears, A U.
Orally, A U.
Like audio. Like audio.
Oh, audio.
Like orally is to do something with your ears. Through audio. Yeah. Yes, it is a word. I just said it actually exists. It's not commonly used, but it actually is a word. It is actually indeed a word. And it sounds, especially for a New Yorker, sounds almost like exactly like the other one. But if it helps you more, I'll say in an audio fashion, with your ears. Okay? We can go low, like, you know. Yes, oral with an AU is actually a word. A rarely used one, but in fact used. You don't believe me that this is a word. It is a word. Anyways, yes, it is indeed a word. Okay, I was surprised the first time I saw it being used also. Okay, we're pausing for everyone to look up words. Yeah, great. Yes. Yes, Ezra.
So, any, like, svara you give for, like, basic problematic,
not Facebook being problematic. It's their mining data in a certain way, yes.
Aural. So it's like
aural and oral. Okay, so it sounds different for you, okay? Look. I have this thing, you know, I mean, we have this at my house also, because Canadians also have softer vowels than New Yorkers. But we have strong vowels. Orally. Okay, I can't do it. It's yeah. Yeah. Doesn't feel natural. Yes, Ezra.
No,
I know what you're saying, but no. It's a machloket whether Chayr Neren Gershom is creating a new Isser or enforcing an old one. Yes, I know. I saw what you're saying. It's a very good question, right? But no, there's a machloket whether Chayr Neren Gershom was introducing a new Isser or was adding sanctions to a pre-existing Isser, right? And that's why I said, this is a huge topic, and I think I want to do it with parent-son, because I think, you know, showing up Bava Basra might actually affect contemporary halacha could be interesting for everyone, but the first attempt at this expansion, as I said, is in the case of Hezek Shmia. So I gave you the Meiri and Elazar Mizrahi, and I am going to put Rami on the spot because Rami, I'm going to put you on the spot because Rami read the Meiri and Elazar Mizrahi, and he said they are the same. They are the same. Well, let's see if you're right. Okay. Let's look at their formulations. You can just look at the underlined part. So, Rami. Yes, I'm putting you on the spot. Read the Meiri for me. Underlined part. Good. Right, Ratzalomar, meaning to say, yeah. What does that mean? The sound goes from here to there because of the thinness of the wall. Yeah. Right, because most people are careful about how they talk. Okay, good? That's the Miri. Hold that thought. Look at Elazar Mizrahi. Look at where the arrow is. This is one of the nice things about printing things. Gavi, I've used this in the past. Olamot. Not only do they underline it, when there's a really key line, they put a little hand with a finger saying, look here. So look where the finger says, look at this line. Read that one line. Yeah? And we will continue, because we're using the sources to daven for Refuah Shleima for the founder of the Olamot website, because he's apparently still sick, Chaval, Reb Tzvi Reisman, who's a tremendous Talmud. In general, this website is very helpful. If you ever want to like look at a sugya, they have these prepared sugyas there with the makarot printed out and a guide sheet. It was made by Tzvi Reisman, who's a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Los Angeles. Who's written like 12 or 15 svarim, I don't know, of his own. And gives a Iyun Shir once a week and believes very strongly that Balabatim should constantly really be Talmid Chachamim and be giving Iyun Shirim. So he gives a weekly Iyun Shir, and he hired someone to put together this website so Balabatim can give Shirim to each other. He is not a professional rabbi. He is a multi-millionaire who is a CEO of a cosmetics company and just happens to be a big Talmid Chacham on the side. What? Yes, he owns a cosmetics company. Yes. Okay. What? I mean, Balabai just means a non-professional Jew. How about that? Right? The laity. It's not an insulting term, it's a descriptive term. Amaretz is usually more insulting. Balabas just means non-professional Jew. What? Yeah, I'm not using it insultingly. I'm saying he's not a professional rabbi. He's just a bigger Talmidei Chachamim than most rabbis. That's all, okay? He's Bishita, not a professional rabbi. His father was like that too. His father was apparently a Rosh Shiva in Europe, but when he made Aliyah, he decided to go into banking. Right? Okay, you know, happens. Fine. Okay, good. So read, first bio. Rabbi Elazar Mizrahi. Who is Rabbi Elazar Mizrahi? When's he from? Somebody look up the bio. Guys, bios. Eliyahu Mizrahi, the Re'eim. Who is he? Kilz Yaakov, we said, 20th century. Rav Yisrael Kanievsky. And the Evan Azel is Rav Shach, who died also like 15, 20 years ago. He died at the age of like 112 or something. He was also one of the leaders of the Litvish community in the Haredi Litvish community in Israel.
Who's the leaders of the Haredi Litvish community in Israel now?
Chaim Kanievsky is one of them. Gershon Edelstein. I don't know. Those are the two names that they keep throwing out around Corona. The Gershon Edelstein keeps saying, please, please keep rules. And Chaim Kanievsky says, as they quote him, don't keep the rules, even though he's 92 and has coronavirus right now. So I don't know I honestly have no idea what's going on. I don't want to get into politics right now. You know, definitely not on record. But it's not a good situation. But whenever they say there are warring voices amongst the two leading, you know, voices of Bnei Brak, that's what they always say. So Chaim Kanievsky and Gershon Edelstein. It's not my community, so what? It is indeed not a good situation. Okay, let's leave it at that. Who's Rav Mizrahi? That's more important to me for the moment. Who is he? You can't find it?
Thank you. Very good. Very good. Talmudist, yeah, very good. Very good. Okay, good. He also writes a super commentary on Rashi. Okay, so, Rami, read the line with the arrow pointing and saying, Rami, read here. Rami, read here. Yeah. Right, that you cannot make a legal claim about, right, Shmia. Why? Daha? Mikula Talmuda. Ki Gavna, because you didn't find anywhere in Shas such damage. Okay, so, Rami, are they the same or different? Oh, what's the difference? Good. You gotta be, before you do the difference, why did Rami originally believe that Reb Elazar Mizrachi and Meiri said the same thing? Because their conclusion both was, is there such a thing as Hezek Shmia? No. Except, let's now read it more carefully.
Okay, so now that,
does Reb Elazar Mizrachi think... Correct. Reb Elazar Mizrachi says, there is no such damage. Right? There is no such damage. And what does the Meiri say? Exactly. Meiri says there isn't such damage. Why? Because most people are capable of speaking quietly if they want to. And if you're, right, most people won't actually be inhibited by you listening in. And what many have pointed out is that Reb Mizrachi thinks categorically Hezek Shmia is not a thing. The Meiri doesn't say that. The Meiri just says usually Shmia is no thing because, for the most part, you eavesdropping won't actually inhibit people from doing things because most people will, you know, if they're in the chatzer and they don't want you to hear, they'll whisper, right? They know what they're doing. But what they point out is that, according to the Meiri, let's say it wasn't, you know, you're putting your ear near their wall, right? But it was you planted a secret bug in their house where there's no reason they should possibly imagine that it's there. So according to Reb Elazar Mizrachi, is that Hezek? No, it may not be a good thing, but we'd have to figure out what it is. According to the Meiri, does it sound like that might actually be Hezek, an expansion of Hezek Re'iah?
Yeah.
Yes. Right, because he says there's no difference between Shmia and Re'iah except that by Shmia, people are normally capable of protecting themselves. But categorically, it's similar to Hezek Re'iah. Right? He gives a practical explanation for why there isn't usually Hezek Shmia. And therefore, many have argued that Reb Elazar Mizrachi seems to take a principled position. There's no such thing as Hezek Shmia. And the Meiri seems to take a pragmatic one. But that normally, there's no inhibition on your life if someone happens to be passing by can hear you, because you'll talk about whatever you want. But they point out, if that's the case, then it seems like for the Meiri, in a case where that wouldn't be true, where they couldn't possibly have imagined the way you're listening in, and their privacy is fundamentally violated, so then Hezek Shmia exists as a category. One second. And many, and some contemporaries, and I didn't give you this tshuva at the end, but there's a tshuva by the Evan Pina in Simon Kuf Samach Zayin, where he suggests that the machlok, that this seeming machlokus between the Meiri and Reb Elazar Mizrachi is actually broken down along the lines of, is Hezek Re'iah damage, or is it Miniyat Hishtamshut? Because if it's damage, so damage is whatever Halacha recognizes as damage. But if it's about Miniyat Hishtamshut, so then what's relevant are practical concerns. Meaning, in certain circumstances, will eavesdropping prevent you from living your life the way you would have? Yes. Right? Now, again, the expansion from that to the problem of data mining, obviously there's a whole bunch of things you got to do. But the first petach, right, the first opening to conceptualize it, according to many, depends on this question of whether A, Hezek Re'iah has damage, in which case it only applies to what the Gemara says it does, or is it a catch-all for a set of cases in which my invading your privacy prevents you from living your life, and that is something that can be tried in court. Once you open that petach, so then maybe hezek shmiya under certain circumstances might be hezek, and then at least this might be a relevant category to bring into the conversation of data mining. Again, this doesn't give us a conclusion, it gives us the beginning of a conversation. That's all we've gotten. Right? That's all we've gotten. Yes, since both of you, your arms are like going to fall out of the socket. Yes, Ezra, I think you seem more desperate. Yeah.
So, but if that's the way, if you're going to like line up and see things like that, where the Meniri, who is the practical one, is the Miyad, which is not true one, right? So with the case of and the Mizrahi is the damage thing, right? So if that's how you're going to do it, then would you say that according to both of them, if you were to bug someone's house,
That's what the post give notice. According to the Meiri, bugging someone's house presumably would be Hezek.
There's no Miyati, if they don't know it's there, there's no Miyati to some shoes. Right? That's the only problem. I think according to either way, you'd end up having the same.
So, not necessarily, right? Meaning, it could be that it's the type of thing, had I understood what you were doing to me, right? It would be Miniyat Eshnim Shoot, right? Meaning, right? Same by Hezek Ria. Right, where, right, right, meaning there is some sort of mix between them, right, meaning bugging someone, right, you could argue, oh, well, if I don't know you're doing it, but no, right, meaning it's the type of thing that if you, it's more precisely determined as the type of thing that if I knew you were doing it, I wouldn't be able to live my life normally. Right, but it sounds like it's more like the type of thing that had they really understood what was happening to them, right?
Turning their semi relatively private place.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why would that be the case?
Because it's not right, it's not just the mini HTM shoot, it's the fact that what it is really, right, a making my space not private in the way that I should, right? My life, I can't live my life the way I really should be allowed to. Right, so I hear what you're saying. I think you could say it that way, though. I think what the post can generally assume is, no. The fact that you don't realize that I'm violating your privacy, if you realized what was going on, you wouldn't live your life that way, right? You know, it's the same way, is someone violating Hezek, is a peeping Tom violating Hezek Ria? Probably, right? Just because you continue to live your life, right, and, you know, take your showers and, right, whatever, even though someone is, right, staring in, right, that your privacy is being violated, right? When you discover it, right, think about it, when you discover it retroactively, you feel your privacy has been violated and you're, right, like, it's the type of thing that people don't, right, no one just says, oh, you've been violating my privacy, stop doing it from now on, right? They say, oh, I feel violated, right, retroactively, right? Again, I think what Poskim would say is it's not just Minid Hishtam Shud, it's Minid Hishtam Shud and anything that if you really understood what was going on, you wouldn't live that way. That itself is problematic. But I understand that I added a conceptual layer there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I did. Yes.
And also, if you say, like, it's very dependent on, like, it is like the Ria, the whole category only applies because of if someone were to in a public bathroom or something like that, if someone were to like peek on someone, would that be a problem with Hezek Ria, if that's how you formulate it?
It'd be hard to Hezek Ria or one of the other Easterim, right?
Yeah, but
correct.
But it wouldn't be a problem.
Right, meaning in Rosh Hashanah, we know it's not the case. A public bathroom is an interesting middle case, right? I mean, Rosh Hashanah, we said there's no problem because you don't have an expectation of privacy. A public bathroom, we really do. So we have to figure out what category. We'd have to think about what category would go into that. Okay, good. So guys...